Well, it's really lovely to be here at Revive. So thanks to Carol and the team for inviting me. Well done for everyone for getting up. Fiona especially, well done. It's not easy, is it, on a cold January morning, but it is really lovely to be here. And for those, it's really lovely to see lots of people that I do know and maybe know me, but I also am aware that there's lots of people here probably wondering who this very short person at the front is. And so for those of you who don't know, I'm Julie, and as a family, that's Rich, my husband, and then our three children. We, and puppy soon, 2 weeks' time, everybody. I'll introduce you to Obi, little black lab we're getting in just under 2 weeks' time, so there'll be an extra little addition. We've recently moved back to Tunbridge Wells. So, and Rich, my husband, he's vicar at St. Philip's Church in Sherwood. So that's been exciting. But we used to live in Tunbridge Wells, as Carol said, and we used to come here to St. Matt's and worship here, and Rich used to work here. But we moved away about 5.5 years ago now, and we moved to Cambridge because Rich was going to train to become a vicar, ordination training. So we spent 2 years in the very lovely city of Cambridge. It is an amazing place to live for, and we had a great time there. And then we moved after that, and you have to go and do a curacy. And we went to West London, to Ealing, and we did a curacy there at a church called St. Paul's. And so we were there for about 3 years. And now we've gone full circle, and we've moved back to Tunbridge Wells, just the other side of the railway line, up the hill at Sherwood. So we've been there since we moved at the end of July, and we've been there since then. Richard started in September. So it's been really nice to have done like a term now, with Rich starting there. I'm working at a school in Tunbridge as a teacher, and the kids have started their schools. So Ben is at Bennett, and Ella and Josh are at St. Matt's. So it's been really good, and it's been good to meet lots of lovely people in Sherwood and at St. Philip's, and yeah, and to have done our first term and to feel like we can feel that here is home. So it's been really, really lovely. So thank you for all those people who were praying as we settled in and got started. I don't know about you, but probably Christmas feels a long time ago now, but I have to admit it was around Christmas time that I started to think about the talk. But I was aware over Christmas, over the holidays, you know, and probably you, like me, sat through quite a few services where there were different sort of Christmas readings. And one of them struck me, and it's the story of the shepherds. And, you know, you've probably all heard it. The angel appeared to them. And then, after the angel appeared to them, they did what he said, and they went to see Jesus. And I'm just going to read to you in Luke's Gospel, Luke chapter 2, what it says. So they, that's the shepherds, they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told, what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. After seeing Jesus, after the angels appeared, and then after they went to see Jesus, you know, the shepherds were just amazed. They were really excited and, like, confident, it feels, that they just couldn't not tell people about what they'd seen. I was in a meeting recently, and I think it was Rich, actually. He was sharing about it's a very small few verses in John chapter 1 about Philip. And it says this. It says, the next day Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, follow me. Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip then found Nathanael and told him, we have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nazareth? Can anything good come from there? Nathanael asked. Come and see, said Philip. You know, Philip also saw for himself, he encountered Jesus. And when Nathanael, who it feels like is asking quite a sarcastic and skeptical sort of voice, can anything good come from Nazareth? Philip's just simple reply is, oh, just come and see. You know, I don't know about you, but when I hear these stories, it feels really natural to them to go and share about Jesus and to invite others to come and see. But I don't know about you, but often I think it can feel often anything but natural sometimes for us. And we've probably all experienced for ourselves maybe times when it really has been plain weird and a little bit awkward and embarrassing when we've had conversations with people. And maybe even sometimes we just wish the ground would swallow us up. And, you know, and we just really pray that we don't see them for a few weeks, because it's quite embarrassing, really. The longer they're, the longer the distance between us having seeing them again, it would be a lot easier. I remember when I was in Ealing and I went to this women's group on a Thursday morning, and we'd been, one time we'd been studying the book Walk Across the Room by Bill Hybels, which is a great book. And we'd been doing it in chapters, and we were doing the chapter on, it was more on sort of, you know, when you hear promptings from God, from His Holy Spirit, to go and maybe say something to somebody you didn't know, or that type of thing. So we'd been talking about that. And so we all left that week quite spurred on, you know, ready to come back the following week, you know, with lots of stories. And so we all went away that week, and then we came back the following week, and there was always an opportunity to share. And I had a really good friend called Jo. He won't mind me saying, she's not very Northfields. If Northfields in Ealing's quite, it's quite a nice, lovely middle-class area. Jo herself would not see herself as a middle-class, lovely, and she talks like this. And she got up to share. And then we always, when she got up, we knew we were in for a good story. And she really did have a real gift for hearing God's voice. And she would use that gift all the time in church. She would share words and pictures to people, and she felt after that week where we've been talking about God prompting, you know, to step out in faith, maybe in the situation, not in church, outside with her family, with other people. And so that week she'd gone away, and she'd really been asking God to use her. So she got up and she was sharing about that. And so one day that week she'd been walking around town, and she suddenly felt God prompt her. There was this lady she could see, and she just really felt like God was saying, you've got to go up and pray for her. Something's going on, and, you know, pray for her. And so my friend at first probably did what most of us do. She tried to ignore it, so she went into a shop in the hope that when she came out, the woman would have disappeared. But when she came out the shop, the lady was still there. So she thought, oh, I'm going to have to do it. So she went up to this lady, who by this point actually was just about to get into her car and leave. And so my friend Jo sort of went up to her, and she said, I know it's a bit strange, but I'm a Christian, and I just really felt like God wanted me to just offer to pray for you. And actually she said she was quite nervous when she said it, and then when she said it, she thought she was quite bold, and she was quite excited about, you know, where was God going to lead her in this. And this woman then turned around to her. Her expression completely changed. And the woman basically opened her mouth, told her to F off, got in her car as quick as she could, slammed the door, and drove off as quick as she could. Now, as Jo said, incredibly awkward. It was weird. Do you know what I mean? And if I share that story, not to like, but there are times when it's weird. And actually, Jo, for anyone worried that Jo went away disappointed, and maybe this is an aside and an encouragement to people, she actually felt God said to her in that moment, what's the worst that can happen? That's the worst that can happen. That actually someone just tells you to go away and they don't want it. And actually, you know, I don't know, that's just a little side, but I feel like maybe there's some people here who need to know that actually that's the worst that can happen. That actually if you've got that gift, and you know, and you do, then maybe, you know, that to encourage you to step out in those moments. Because actually for my friend Jo, you know, she thought like it was the worst thing ever. But actually, when she walked away, God just said to her, actually, that's the worst thing that happened. You're absolutely fine. The person just didn't want you to pray. And actually, since then, she's done amazing things where she stepped out and actually people have responded. So this morning, though, I want to share and talk about how we share our faith without being weird. As I said, there will be times maybe when God does prompt us to share, like my friend Jo, although I'm sure with different results, okay? And this can often feel weird, but this morning I'm focusing and thinking about how do we share our faith in our everyday lives, you know, with the people around us. How do we make sharing our faith like a natural part of our lives and conversations? How do we become more like Philip, where we feel able to just say to people, come and see? where we're able to answer the questions of others in a natural way, where we don't feel like we want the ground to open up and swallow us, and we're dreading seeing them again, you know, in 2 weeks' time because we feel embarrassed. The first thing that I think, and I really want to share with us, is the first thing I think that we need to know and have if we are to witness and share our faith with others is a confidence. You know, when you read the shepherd's story and Philip's story, they had found for themselves that Jesus was good news. And they believed that Jesus was good news. And they believed that he wasn't just good news for them. They believed that Jesus was good news for everybody. And they had a confidence in Jesus. They didn't have a confidence in themselves. They had a confidence in the fact that Jesus was good news. I heard Justin Welby talk a little while ago, and he said this. He said, "We as Christians need to regain the confidence that the best decision that any human being can ever make in their lives, whatever their circumstances, wherever they are, whoever they are, whatever age they are, wherever they live, is to become a disciple of Jesus Christ. There is no better decision that any human being can ever make." I don't know about you, but I found this really challenging. You know, do we really believe this? Do I really believe it? We need to regain our confidence that Jesus is good news for everyone. And I don't know about you, but it can sometimes feel easier when we meet people where life has been a struggle for them. You know, where things maybe have not gone well, where they've lost hope. I've met a lady recently who lives in Sherwood who has been struggling with life. She started to come to church, and she has begun to see that Jesus is good news. You know, he is with her. He will never let her down, even though often in her life many people have, Jesus won't. You know, she's realized that he is faithful, that Jesus gives wise and good advice when often many people around her don't give her good and wise advice. You know, we probably can probably think of people instantly where we can see that actually for that person, Jesus is really good news, that the best decision they could make is to become a disciple of Jesus. But I wonder, if you're honest, I'll be honest, you know, maybe there are other times when, if we're honest, we start to doubt that we as Christians actually do have something good to offer people. We look at some people and we start to question, is becoming a disciple of Jesus Christ such good news for this person, you know? Will it really make a difference in their lives? When I lived in Ealing, as I said, I lived in a lovely road with incredibly lovely, friendly neighbours. But there were times when I felt, what can I offer them? You know, they've got lovely homes, they've got lovely good jobs. Many of them even had their own businesses. They were doing well. You know, they have families. You know, when we would go around to our neighbours who were lovely and we got on really well with them, the Prosecco would flow freely. Our gorgeous food would be rustled up and come out. You know, we'd sit on their lovely decking where the hot tub was. You know, we'd talk about how life was going and we'd talk about how well their business was going. The children were doing well at school, looking forward to their trip to New Zealand, next holiday. You know, do they really need Jesus? You know, I start to question, well, I don't know if they do. Maybe it just complicate their life if they have Jesus in it. You know, I don't know, maybe it's just me. But I meet a lot of people and I start to think, well, have I really got anything good to offer them? Because their life is going quite well, it seems. So is it just going to complicate things? You know, but I think we need to have confidence that Jesus is good news for everybody. He really, really is, you know. There is no better decision that any human being can make than to become a disciple of Christ. You know, it really is the truth. I suppose, you know, where does this confidence come from? Where do we get this confidence from? And I think when we look at the story of the shepherds, you know, firstly, they encountered the angel, and the angel sort of said, go and see Jesus. You need to go and see Jesus. And they went and they saw Jesus in the manger. They encountered him. Even just as a baby, they encountered Jesus. You know, and Philip's confidence when he talks to Nathaniel, it comes from the place that he's encountered Jesus, he's met him. And he just simply says, you know, come and see. I think the more we encounter Jesus, the more we see Jesus at work in our own lives, where we give things to him, where we see him answering prayer in the lives of us, in the lives of others, we're confident in the good news of Jesus.
I was talking to Rich about this, and we were talking about, you know, he was talking about the fact that, you know, for him recently, or more and more, actually, when you read the Bible, when you read the Word, that actually you start to realize that actually Jesus' words are such good words, you know, for our lives, that actually the more we see how God's Word really speaks truth into our lives and guides us and helps us and teaches us and shines light into the darkness, you know, then we see that Jesus is good news. We have that confidence about what we have to share with others. And so firstly, I want to really encourage us all, you know, today to begin being confident in the good news that we have and grow in that confidence, not in ourselves, not in our own abilities, but actually in Jesus, who we have, who is faithful, who's with us, who is the truth, and who is the best decision that we can make to follow him. And actually, you know, that Alice's quiet day, I'm sure, you know, I'm not going to go into that, but probably we know some of the things that we can do, whether it's just being quiet each day and allowing us to be in his presence, reading his word, spending time in prayer, just having those encounters with Jesus gives us the confidence to know that he is with us and that he is good news. So as I mentioned at the beginning, we've moved around a little and in the last 5 years. And so I found myself in a few different situations having to make friends. And when we moved to Ealing, I knew that it would probably be a good thing to make some friends. And so I, you know, in those first few months, you start to meet people, don't you? And I met people from the children's school. I met people from church. I'd started working a little bit over at a school in Wembley. And so I started to meet people. But I began to think about how could I be more intentional in the way I built relationships and friendships with others and shared life with them. Although I wanted and knew it was important to build Christian friendships within church so that we could encourage one another and support one another, and I did this, I went to a small group and I had a prayer triplet and things, I wanted to be just as intentional about the friendships with those who didn't yet know the good news of Jesus. Now, the two things I'm going to highlight in a way I'm aware could be seen as a bit of tension, because I think that in some ways we have to be intentional about our friendships. But in the same sentence, I want to say that I'm not seeing people as a project. Does that make sense? So firstly, I want to stress here that I was wanting to be intentional about forming friendships with people. I didn't see them. I didn't want to see them as a project. You know, relationships are not projects. They are not task focused. They're people focused. And I feel like God calls us to love our neighbours as ourselves. But yet equally, if you want to share your faith, as Jesus asks all of us to do in the Great Commission, it says, go and make disciples of all people. You can only do this if you have relationships with those people who don't know Jesus, who aren't Christians yet. And I think it requires us to sometimes be intentional in those relationships. But our motive needs to be one of love, you know, wanting to form friendships rather than take on a project, if that makes sense. So I just wondered whether those three things about maybe just where you are, but also if you need to go to the toilet now, you can go to the toilet or grab another cup of tea or whatever. But I just thought maybe with one person around you or whatever, just have a think about, you know, like if we're honest, how confident do we feel at the moment about sharing our faith? And maybe have a think about how intentional are our friendships? Have we got people that actually we are intentional about, or are there people that have been on our heart for a long time that maybe we want to be intentional about? Does that make sense? I'm not going to give you very long, don't worry. So you can, off you go.